This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Visit audibletrial.com/CSR to download your free audiobook. Again, that's audibletrial.com/CSR for a free audiobook.
And by The Country Squire. Visit thecountrysquireonline.com to discover custom pipes, handcrafted blends, and unparalleled customer service. TheCountrySquireOnline.com.
We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
Diddy.
Hey, Bo, good morning.
Man, good morning to you. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Doing well. I woke up really late this morning. I texted Bo when I woke up, and it was like, are we doing the video again today? And that was my determination if I was going to get really clean or semi-clean. And you're looking at more or less really clean, John David, right now.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, we want to say at the top of the show, if you are tuning in, we appreciate
you. Good morning.
You. Good morning. How are you doing? I'm excited. Our first live episode went off without a hitch. It was a really, really great episode.
Yeah.
Really excited about, just this format and where we're going with it.
It was fun to see how many people we actually had watched.
Yeah, that was cool.
Which was really great. Had a lot of good feedback from that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, thank you for tuning in then. Thank you for tuning in today.
Yeah.
And, let's just jump into some news, man. What I hear, there are some stars near the Squire.
Were
there stars in the Squire?
There were no stars inside the. Well, there are always stars inside the Squire. You're with one right now.
That's
but,
right.
Dan Aykroyd was actually next door to the Country Squire this past weekend. He owns a. We have a liquor store right next door, or as a classy Southern belle might refer to it, a package store.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've ever heard that term.
Right next door to our shop. And Dan Aykroyd owns this. Vodka company called Crystal Head Vodka, and the bottle of it is actually a glass skull that's filled with vodka. It's like a $60 bottle of vodka.
Cool looking bottle.
Really cool bottle. Yeah. And Aykroyd, they're actually shooting a James Brown movie here in Mississippi. My understanding is the same director that did The Help, which was also interviewed here in Mississippi, is doing the James Brown movie.
That's right.
He
that's
just
right.
liked it here and wanted to come back and do the movie. So
is Aykroyd in that movie?
Aykroyd's in the movie. Okay. He was here shooting some stuff here in Jackson and then down in Natchez, which is kind of one of the historic centers of the state. And so when he was in town, this liquor store, which is one of the best probably in the city, just snagged him and got him to come by and sign his bottles for his liquor while he was in town. And so he was doing a signing of his liquor bottles, his Crystal Head Skull Vodka bottles. Crystal Skull Vodka, and your head, whatever it is. And it's amazing. Like, if you want to pay $60 for a bottle of vodka, that's one thing. I mean, I'd assume, buy some rubbing alcohol. But
I'm not a clear liquor guy either.
Yeah. I don't know. I've just always been a brown liquor guy. Gin is the one exception.
Yeah. Gin is good.
I like gin. But he was next door and signing his bottles of vodka and, anyway, we tried to, kind of entertain the idea of getting him to sneak over there and put a pipe in his mouth and come hang out with us, but he was on a pretty tight schedule. So
that's unfortunate. Yeah, we did try to bribe him at one point.
Yeah.
But no dice. Well, that's fun. That's fun. And did you have some overlap there? Anybody say, I met him and he signed my bottle?
Yeah, a few folks brought him over, and that was fun. Lots and lots of Facebook activity on that, which was great. So the mile was a mile long around the shopping center, the quarter there. So,
well, very cool. We also we've got some news digitally. You may have noticed earlier this week we actually now officially have a Country Squire Radio Twitter account.
Yep.
Funny thing, we actually always had one back when we started the show. I set one up and completely forgot about it. And I was going through and looking up some tweets, and I found this account at Squire Radio. And I was reading it. And I was like, "Man, this looks a lot like our show. Is this person like trying to, be the unofficial, Country Squire Radio, or trying to steal our brand, or what's going on here?" And apparently they were trying to steal our brand because it was us.
Whoops.
But anyway, so you can follow at Squire Radio on the Twitter. A lot of great stuff. A lot of little additional content and thoughts from and throughout the day.
Yep.
A great way to send questions in directly to the show as well. So
yeah, and now, you know, with all this, regardless of kind of your preferred internet social media connectivity, there we've got tons of different ways to interact with us. So
yep.
At work, you know, at home, wherever you are, just, man, please, if you got a quick question or comment, please shoot it at us, and we'll get back with you, or feature it on the air, or whatever we can do.
Good deal. All right. So, man, this is, I guess we should go ahead and say this. I don't have any fanfare or anything else, but,
yeah.
Man, happy anniversary. This is our 25th episode.
It's our 25th episode, Bo.
That's right.
That's right. It's too early for champagne, but.
No.
Did you put Bailey's in this coffee?
No. It would have been good. No. So, we have now been doing this for 25 weeks.
Yeah.
That's
half a year.
Yeah. You could argue that this is our 26th episode if we count the 12 days of Christmas, but we don't count that.
Wow. Yeah, is that still on the air? Is that still on the internet?
We haven't been kicked off the internet quite yet.
Terrifying, yeah.
But 25 episodes, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We've actually got when we get to the listener feedback today, we've actually got somebody who's been a listener from episode one. And,
is that right?
And
yeah.
Get some great feedback there. So.
That's awesome.
But anyway, so again, happy anniversary. Thank you guys so much for joining us over the last 25 weeks.
Yeah.
We hope the next 25 weeks are even better.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, y'all.
All right, so we want to dive into something that is near and dear to all of our hearts. You know, we cover different topics on this show.
Right.
We cover individuals, pipe smoking individuals, both of history and you know, who are doing cool things in the community.
Right.
We cover best practices.
Right.
But something we haven't done, I don't think we've done quite yet, and I know it's something that we've wanted to do.
Yeah.
Is really start kind of reviewing some different tobaccos.
That's right. That's right.
And you know, the great thing is with the Country Squire, the shop, y'all have such a great diverse inventory to pull from.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a custom blend.
Yeah.
And then also a 10, do you call it a 10 blend? Or?
A 10 tobacco.
10
yeah.
10 tobacco.
Yeah, there you go.
and just kind of, you know, talk it up. And we want to do two things with this. We'll start off this episode and, you know, we'll give kind of some of our thoughts about the tobacco. And we'll open up the door, and we want to hear what you guys think about these particular tobaccos.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the future, we'll also kind of give you a heads up to let you know what tobaccos we'll be reviewing. It won't be an every episode thing, but whenever we do have those episodes, we'll put it out on the Facebook and on the Twitter.
Yeah.
And that way you can kind of send us your opinions on a particular tobacco. And that way it can, you know, we want it not just to be about us, but
right.
be about everybody's thoughts on this.
Right.
So
right.
what tobaccos have you brought in for me today?
Man, yeah. And so we'll start with our 10 today. And if you're a pipe smoker that has kind of been in the game for a while, you know, or a new pipe smoker that's just kind of researched some really kind of staple blends that you've got to try at some point during your experimentation, I brought Escudo along with us today.
Escudo
Navy Deluxe. And I don't know if you can see it. I'll hold that up there to the thing. But Escudo is a Virginia Perique, and it's cut into discs. It's really interesting. This tobacco has been around, I believe, for over 100 years.
Oh, wow.
So now it's changed manufacturers over time. A good friend of mine and a buddy in the store, Mike Box, actually brought this by for my 30th birthday. And he hit the nail on the head because this is one of my favorites.
Man, this smells delicious.
I'm a Virginia Perique smoker, so I mean, this is like, man, just honey to the bear stealing it from the hive, man. But when you open a 10 of Escudo, you peel back the wrapper there,
yeah.
And you're looking at some sliced medallions, and they
do you mind if I take one out?
Not at all. Yeah, go for it. They're it's like they're discs. About the size of a pepperoni you'd find on a on a pizza.
It kind of looks like a pepperoni.
It really does. Yeah, it really does. And basically, what Escudo has done here, what they've done, and I forget the current manufacturer of this brand. This recipe hasn't changed in a very long time, but they take Virginia tobaccos from, you know, Virginia and North Carolina, and put them with Perique, and then press them for a really, really long time. So this tobacco has been aged for forever.
Yeah, you can tell, man. And it's spiraled.
It's spiraled. It's interesting. So what they do is after they've pressed it like this, they twist it into these rolls and then slice it. Now, my understanding as a Navy roll. This actually came from a tradition in the British Empire where they would issue the sailors with their ration of, you know, rum or whatever. They would actually issue them a tobacco ration, and it would come in like a log form, basically a long a long roll. And then what the individual sailor could do is slice it off like this, put it in their pipe, or they could actually put it in their mouth and chew it.
So
that was just an easy way for them to both keep up with their tobacco, but then also to utilize it. But that's kind of where that tradition comes from.
Now, when it is spiraled out like that, if you were, how, like, do you actually break it apart to put it in your bowl?
Yeah, you've got competing schools of thought on that, and honestly, it's just a best practices for you kind of thing. So some folks that are very skilled, you know, can actually fold this up almost like just a little envelope here,
right,
and just cram it in their bowl, light it, and keep it lit for forever. I'm not one of those people.
That actually looked pretty impressive when you filled it up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks cool, and in theory, I think a lot of folks can do it, and I just, for whatever reason, I've never developed the talent for that. I probably need to practice. I never also have been able to roll my R's with my tongue, like in speaking Spanish, so it might just be one of those things I never have the ability to do.
Some can, some can.
Yeah, I think it's because I have a fat tongue, but what I do is actually kind of tear it apart.
Right.
I tear the medallion apart, and basically until I have ribbon cuts, kind of like a, you know, one of our private blends there at the store, or something like that.
Right.
And then I'm going to load my pipe with it just the way I kind of would.
Just kind of pinch and press.
Pinch and press. You kind of let it gravity fill the first couple of drops, and then kind of press it down like I would a normal one. But Escudo, if I having trouble remembering what we've already discussed, but Escudo is a Virginia Perique blend, and so they take those Virginias from Virginia, North Carolina, put them with Perique, age them, press them, and then roll them into this thing, and obviously slice them up. But this is a mild, uncased blend, so there's no topping or additional flavoring on this blend.
Really?
Yeah. Because
it smells very fragrant, very sweet.
It's very fragrant, but it's all natural sweetness. It's really awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's one of those that's got, even though it's not a artificially flavored tobacco, it's got a really great room note. And it's got a hint of nicotine. When you open the tin up, it's a little wet, so a lot of folks...
Yeah, I noticed that.
You notice a little moist?
Yeah.
A lot of folks, what they'll do with the Escudo is just open the tin, let it sit out, maybe kind of do the top just loosely on the top, and let it sit out for a day or two, or even just overnight to kind of air out. With me, when I open a Escudo, I want the Escudo so bad that I'm going to go ahead and smoke it, even if that means it might burn my tongue up a little bit, because it's that tasty. Yeah,
yeah.
It's really good. So,
well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of our favorites. We carried it at the Squire for years and years.
Navy Deluxe.
Yep.
Navy Deluxe. I like it. Good deal. Good deal.
Escudo. If you haven't tried it, you really need to. And give us your feedback on it, too.
Absolutely.
Great tobacco.
Now, the blend, the custom blend from the Squire.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't actually bring me any today.
I didn't. I failed to do that.
That's all right.
I failed to do that. But today we wanted to talk about Hunting Creek. Hunting Creek, of course, if you've been a kind of a patron of the Squire for anywhere in the last 30 years, you've probably either seen or tried Hunting Creek. But Hunting Creek is one of those interesting blends that is hard to pin down exactly where you would classify it. And so I always kind of just throw it in the hybrid category. and, you know, that's where I tend to put it. There may be some more technical name for it. I've heard some folks refer to blends that have both Latakia and Cavendish as Scottish blends, and I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Interesting.
There's probably some kind of fight out there about that term that I don't even know about, so we're just going to ignore that.
Yeah.
But Hunting Creek is great. It's one of our most complex blends at the shop. We use several ingredients to blend Hunting Creek, and it's interesting just because it's got, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, it's got those characteristics of both the aromatic tobaccos and then also the English blends. And so it's got a generous kind of undertone of Latakia, which gives it a smoky, kind of savory undertone. But then it's mostly, when you smoke it, your sense is more of an aromatic tobacco. And so it's one of those that it's got a healthy dose of black Cavendish that's just been toasted and steamed. And it just smells, it's got a great room note. It smells so good.
And you mentioned Hunting Creek, one of the older tobaccos from the Country Squire.
That's right.
Was that, so who is the tobacconist that actually blended this one up?
You know, this is interesting. It was actually, of course, our shop was founded by Jim and Gwen Reeves in 1970. It was actually their grandson.
Is that right?
Who at the time I think was like maybe 15, I don't know. But he was in the shop there just kind of messing around and kind of got onto this thing. You know, you can just kind of imagine this little kid like throwing a little bit of this, a little bit of that in there. And,
right.
You know, making Granny mad because he's wasting all this tobacco and all this. And, you know, well, eventually they actually tried some of his, you know, kind of work and were onto something. And, I mean, recognized just the potential of this. And so the Reeves, they kind of tweaked it a little bit and came up with a couple of little modifications, and it's just been a great tobacco. It's one of our best sellers.
Wow, so
it's
that's
a lot
awesome.
Of fun. Yeah, that's but it's great. It's really really kind to your mouth. Very very soft on your tongue. It's one of those that you sit next to folks, and they're really gonna appreciate the aroma of it. We say in the store, it's kind to your companions. But it's also got kind of the complex undertones of just there's a lot of different Virginias in there. And then you've got the addition of the Latakia, which gives it that robust kind of finish. So it's just a really great tobacco. I'd kind of compare it to like, I don't know, like maybe one of those Throgmortons, like maybe Throgmorton across the pond or something. It's just really, really smooth, but very complex and very rich. So.
And what about the name? Where does that come from?
Hunting Creek. I actually don't know the story behind that name. A lot of the tobaccos in our shop, I know the story behind, but that one I don't know. So when we put it on our website, I just thought of, for some reason, I thought of this spaniel hunting in the woods with an old guy with his gun. So that's what's next to Hunting Creek if you get on our website and try to order it.
Very nice. Very nice.
It's a great tobacco. You need to try it.
Well, awesome. And like I said, we want to, as we dive into some of these tobacco reviews, we do want to make sure that it's not just kind of us talking about it,
yeah.
But up to you guys as well. We want to hear what you guys think about if you've actually tried Escudo or Hunting Creek.
Yep.
Hunter Creek or Hunting Creek?
Hunting.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Hunting.
Hunting Creek. Let us know what you thought. What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? Like, what, you know, we want to know what you think.
Absolutely.
Because the great thing is, if you try a certain tobacco, and you're like, man, this is not, you know, quite to my tasting.
Right.
And you express what it is you don't like, chances are there's another tobacco out there that's like just right for you.
That's
right. The best way to kind of decipher essentially what, you know, your custom taste and what is your custom blend. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I really hope that our friend Justin from Vermont chimes in on Hunting Creek, because he has smoked probably everything in our shop and always goes back to Hunting Creek. And I'd like to maybe, if you're out there, Justin, we'd love some of your feedback on kind of why folks keep coming back to that one, or why
absolutely.
You do.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, while you're enjoying these wonderful tobaccos, you know what you want to do.
Yep.
You want to listen to books. Do you want to listen to audiobooks?
You want to be immersed in it.
That's right. That's right. Audible is a great service. Every single week for the last almost 25 episodes, I guess they came on a little bit later on, but
yeah.
We definitely appreciate them throughout this first season of the show, and supporting us. And we've been able to recommend a lot of great reading and audiobook material to you guys. But Audible actually has more than just audiobooks. They've got a lot of different audio content.
Yeah.
And with today, as we record the show live, being the day after Martin Luther King Day, I thought it was appropriate that we should recommend to you guys some of the speeches by Martin Luther King. They actually have, they call it the Ultimate Collection, which is a collection of, I think it's like 17 hours worth of speeches and sermons.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King, of course, a huge hero of this country during the Civil Rights Movement. Some of his speeches, I mean, there's no way to overstate it. I mean, change the world.
Yeah.
And the great thing is, if you look into not just his speeches, but also his sermons, the man was such a great and rich theologian as well. You know, one of the things I love about our show is that we've kind of created this niche where we're talking about pipe tobacco and theology.
Right.
it's something that just kind of naturally happened, probably because the two of us are the ones doing the show.
I think so. A lot of folks are like, yeah, I tune into them and it's just a strange pair, but I kind of like it. Yeah.
It works out. But I'm telling you, Dr. King always gets credited for his acts and
in the civil rights
movement. The civil rights movement, as he should. But go back and listen to some of his sermons, because he really is just one of the great, you know, theologians of our time.
Yeah, incredible preacher.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we've got a clip.
Once more, the method of nonviolent resistance was unsheathed from its scabbard, and once again an entire community was mobilized to confront the adversary.
Yes, sir.
And again, the brutality of a dying order streaked across the land. Yet Selma, Alabama became a shining moment in the conscience of man.
The audio quality is going to vary from some places to others, but I kind of like that. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of like Star Wars. Like when you watch the Star Wars movies, you kind of want to, you don't want to see that Blu-ray HD,
right?
You know, all this other stuff. I mean, it's fine for what it is, but it really kind of displays a moment in time,
right?
You know, like the quality of the of the content really speaks to when it was.
Watching something gritty because, hey, it was 1979 or whatever.
Like. Exactly. So the audio content is very much of the time as well. But
absolutely.
Oh man, you gotta check it out.
Yeah.
Head over to audibletrial.com/CSR.
Yep.
You can download Martin Luther King Jr., The Ultimate Collection, absolutely free. And even if you don't stick around with Audible, you still get to keep the speeches absolutely free. So check it out.
Pipe question of the week.
And the pipe question of the week this week comes in to us from our good friend Carl. Now, Carl answered the call. You know, last week we were like, Carl, how do you say your last name?
Right.
He reached out to us, let us know. We both been saying it wrong.
Man, that is terrible. Carl, we apologize, dude.
Absolutely. So, Carl Mollifite.
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 Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
So, that's on us. We apologize.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you for clearing that up.
To all the Mollifites out there, We greatly appreciate your grace and patience.
Absolutely. Carl writes, what are preferred methods of storage for tobacco? An example, temperature, airtight, humidity, sunlight, dark, any good tips?
Yeah. This is always a great question. And a lot of folks that aren't sure they're going to smoke very regularly come in our shop. And, you know, when they buy 2 ounces of tobacco, one of their first questions is, you know, basically, how long can I keep this? Or how do I store this? Or, you know, what if I only smoke a bowl or two a month? And then also for your heavy smokers or those of us that like to flip around to different things, you know, you buy a pound of tobacco and you're like, man, what am I going to do with this?
So, right.
It's a great question, Carl, and thanks for posting that to us. My preferred method and what I think we see mostly in our store are folks using mason jars.
Yep.
Mason jars are excellent for this just because you get such a tight seal. You can still see what's in there, but, you know, it's just, they're easy to cram in a drawer. And it keeps it really fresh. Basically what I do at my house is I take kind of the preferred blends that I have and I'll cram them really, really deep into this mason jar, pack them in there really good. And then just put the seal on them. If it's something that I think might need a little added moisture, we sell these pouch humidifiers or these little discs about as big as a quarter, but a lot thicker. And they've got a stone in there you just wet with some distilled water and then wipe off the moisture on the outside and throw them inside that mason jar. That'll keep them fresh for months and months and months. But as far as, you know, kind of what else you need to do, once you've got it in whatever container, any kind of container with a sealed lid, you could go to Walmart and find something like a spice jar maybe, or, you know, just something that's got a really, yeah, Bo, you've got something here. It's like an old Yankee candle.
It's a Yankee candle.
Yeah.
We've got another one that we're burning up right now, but my wife will clean out candle jars with you know, the top seal.
Right. Real tight seal, you know, so it's just one of those things. Yeah, it smells great. What is that? Is that Cherokee?
This was actually a custom blend that someone made for me at the Squire.
Yeah.
That used to work there.
Man, that smells great.
It's kind of like it's kind of like a raisiny type of taste to it.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's not my favorite, but it's kind of a good, like,
it's not Yorkist yet.
It's not Yorkist yet. But it is it's pretty good.
That's pretty great. Well, yeah. Other than, you know, keep it in something that's sealed really tight. And then keep it out of the heat. That's one thing. You want the if there is a humidity level you're searching for, you want it to be a little milder than, or a little less humid, I think, than like a cigar humidor. So maybe around 60, maybe upper 50s is kind of our preferred method to keep our pipe tobaccos. But, you know, at that point, you know, just tuck it away, put it, you know, either on a shelf or somewhere that's just not affected by sun or dramatic elements. Probably good point, too, not to keep it next to like a register for your air conditioning unit or anything like that, just because of a lot of the, you know, air movement and that type of thing. But other than that, it'll keep a long time. And you can refresh a lot of tobaccos, too, just by using those discs or, you know, kind of putting them over just a wet kind of paper towel or something.
What about in a humidor?
A lot of folks keep them in a humidor, too.
I know that, and
a whole lot of folks do.
I keep forgetting this, but I've got that secret stash in the Squire's humidor.
Yeah, you do?
That I got from Italy. I came back from Italy with a bag of tobacco. It's like this vanilla something or another.
Yeah.
And not bad at all, but I just got back and never got the opportunity to smoke it. And so time passed and it just really got really dry and not very pleasant at all to smoke.
Yeah.
I gave it to you, you threw it in the humidor, and now it's pretty solid. And it's always there, and I always forget that it's there.
You forget about it.
That's why it's secret. It's even so secret that I don't even know
That you forget about it. It's great. A lot of folks will cellar their stuff in a humidor. And what we've seen a lot of folks do, too, is buy, you know, even at Sam's or Costco now, you can get a small wine refrigerator or wine cellar that's like basically looks like a small fridge, but it's for wine bottles. And a lot of the upper kind of end ones of those will have a humidity control on them. And so what I've seen a lot of folks do is start to cellar their tobaccos in a wine fridge, which is kind of interesting. So because you can set the temperature and the, you know, and the humidity on there, which is pretty neat.
Very cool.
Yeah, just some ideas.
Well, Carl, man, that's a great question. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And if you would like to send in your pipe question of the week, you can do so. CSR@podastery.com podastery podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, quick fire with the squire. You ready for this?
I'm ready. Bring it.
So, as we have done in the previous weeks, quick fire with squire all comes with a bit of a theme. This theme very appropriate, as this is somewhat of a morning show. Well, I mean, it is a morning show.
It is a morning.
Now it is. Breakfast food. You ready for this?
Yep.
All right. Scrambled, poached, or sunny side up?
Poached.
Yeah.
I love a poached egg, man.
It's hard for me to do, but like if you go to like a restaurant that does breakfast right.
Yeah. When I got my first egg poacher, and as a matter of fact, I think it was an egg poacher that my mother was like, you know, this thing is old and I think I'm just going to give it to you so it can get out of my kitchen kind of
nice.
Thing.
Nice.
Which means I get a choice piece of kitchen equipment that was not being loved at the time. But I use that thing up. I love an egg poacher. It goes great. You can make the egg the perfect size for a bacon and egg biscuit. I'm going to go with poached egg.
All right. That's the right answer. Good job. ham, sausage, or bacon?
Bacon.
I'm going to go.
If you're a red-blooded American, I mean, jeez.
I'm going to have to go bacon as well. Although I will say that when it comes to like an egg sandwich or something like that, I do like the breakfast ham.
Yeah, like a country piece of ham. Yeah,
yeah,
that's really good too.
Biscuit or toast?
Biscuit.
Yeah.
Biscuit.
Exactly.
The one breakfast food I can make is a biscuit.
All right, and last but not least, hash browns or home fries?
Hash browns. And when I think of hash browns, I just think of like sitting at the Waffle House and drenching them with ketchup and hash browns.
No.
Home
fries. That's incorrect. Home fries, man.
False.
So I just got back from Memphis.
Yeah.
And actually, while I was out there, I visited a couple of different tobacco and cigar shops.
Yeah.
One of which...
Some good ones in Memphis.
Yeah. There was, I think it was Midtown. I believe it was Midtown Cigars.
Yeah.
I stopped and talked to the owner. Really nice guy. Just telling me about how the owner of the shop recently passed away and left the shop to him and his will.
Is that right?
Yeah, he'd been working there for like the past 20 years and all this other stuff. And,
wow.
The audio quality is not great, but at some point, probably in the next couple of days, I'm going to put it out just as a little mini shop talk episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, while I was there, when I go to Memphis, I go like, it's like a breakfast pilgrimage for me. there are some of the best breakfast restaurants and eateries in Memphis than anywhere else in the entire world. And yeah. I will fight you if you say otherwise.
Them is fighting words.
But they've got, there's a place called Brother Juniper's in Memphis.
Yeah.
And it is one of the best breakfast places in all of Memphis. They have the most amazing home fries there. They have just amazing everything.
What but is anyway, a home fry?
It's like, I mean, you could argue that home fries are essentially hash browns.
Okay.
But they're more like potatoes. They're more like,
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like skillet potatoes.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And if you want to, you can send us in your quick fire with the Squire questions. Do so again, csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right. And listener feedback this week. Got some good stuff.
Yeah.
Do you want to take the first one?
Yeah. This comes from Toby, a.k.a. Nola Pipe Guy. Toby says, I've been listening from day one. You guys have significantly kicked up your game, which is very true, Toby, or at least we'd like to think. It was rough going on early, but you're definitely now one of the top podcasts to listen to every week. Nice job, guys. Keep it going. This bowl I'm smoking is dedicated to you from everyone at the New Orleans Pipe Club. Thanks, right. Toby. Toby, man, that makes us feel great. By the way, thank you for kind of letting us know that we've upped our game a little bit, because I feel like we have, but sometimes it's good to get a little a little feedback. Toby called me at the shop this past week and just told me just, you know, how much him and his friends in New Orleans were enjoying the show, and fellow pipe enthusiasts, and you know, got their hand very much on the pulse of the pipe world. And anyway, Toby, thanks. And by the way, we talked about Memphis. If you've never been to New Orleans,
oh yeah,
you need to go to New Orleans. In Jackson, we're very spoiled because we're literally 3 hours both from Memphis and New Orleans. But we love it. So anyway, Toby, thanks for hollering at us.
And from our new Twitter account, we got a tweet from @LanceMFisher. Says, hey, @SquireRadio, I was listening to the last week's podcast. Any chance you'll follow up on the story, Treasure Ship Loaded with Pipe Tobacco? And I actually, I've already gotten back with Lance on this, but, and I put out on the Facebook as well.
Yeah.
A little bit of a correction. So it wasn't actually a pirate ship. It was a pirate settlement.
Okay.
You know, there were a few of these that have been uncovered and written about where pirates would all kind of congregate and create essentially their own little mini, you know, illegal country, you know, their own little mini settlement.
Wow, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, think of Tortuga from Pirates of the Caribbean, but like that's not historically accurate at all. But I mean, that's kind of the concept.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I put out the article on our Facebook page, so head on over to our Facebook page and you'll be able to see it. We got a big pirate ship there. Trust me, we'll be doing a lot more digging into this. At some point, we are going to do a pirate episode.
And that episode will be rated R. I had to do it.
For those of you who tuned in live, we greatly appreciate
it. Thanks, y'all.
Be sure you can follow us on Twitter @SquireRadio.
Yep.
The shop.
@_CountrySquire.
And then I'm @TheRealBoYork.
@JohnDavidCole. John is with no H.
And then we've already mentioned it, but just search on Facebook for Country Squire Radio. Facebook profile picture is the same picture as the podcast album art, which you are currently enjoying.
Yep.
And yeah, we hope you enjoy it. And we, once again, thank you so much for tuning in.
Thanks, y'all.
A member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.